This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris, and I'll be your host today. I've got with us here in our little studio in Bend, Oregon, I've got Veronique.
Hello, hello.
Veronique, how you doing?
I'm great.
My mic is on this time.
It is. Congratulations.
We just did this 30 seconds ago. My mic wasn't on.
Yeah, this morning I was imagining this moment, and I had like Mrs. Doubtfire, well, hello there. And then I was like, greetings and salutations. Going through all the ways I could say hello. So there you go. It's just a whole bunch of them.
I think you should do a different one every time. So, because that could be pretty fun.
I'll be back. That's more of an ending though.
Yeah, that's... But you did the Vulcan thing, but that's a... That's a...
Live long and prosper.
Terminator.
Yeah. Oh, I have
so
no idea.
I don't know. You're confused.
This is the greeting. The greeting of the... greetings and salutations. This is what my husband does. I don't know. I don't watch Star Wars and all those
Star
movies.
Trek.
Star Trek.
See, I have no idea.
Oh, no.
I don't even know the characters involved. My kids want to know about it. Maybe we should start over.
No, we should definitely go with this because everybody is resonating with this. Yeah. Becky, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. And how are you?
I'm doing good. Great.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
That's great.
Good.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm still figuring out what handshake this is. Is it Star Trek or Star Wars?
No, this is Star Trek. This is okay. A Vulcan Star thing.
So Vulcan. Let me tell you, in Hebrew, this is a sign of an incredible blessing. This right here, if
out.
You
nice.
Saw it written down, but if you do it with your hand, it's like this, but it is an incredible blessing.
Come on.
Well, yeah?
See?
So come on.
Come on. I like that. That is good. I like it. So We got something to dig into.
Yes, we do.
And I think like so many of the things that we're going after, it's now is a good time for this. And you know, we're talking about in the pre-show, kind of this. I don't have the exact numbers, but I was reading something a few weeks ago, and they were talking about this unprecedented season that we're in for migration from state to state in our country. In other words. No matter what state you're in, people are upset with what's there, and they think that the solution will be to leave that state.
Yeah,
the
great exodus.
People are leaving Oregon like crazy.
Yeah.
And people are leaving California into Oregon, and people are leaving, you know, they're going into Texas, they're going out of Texas, they're going into Idaho. They're just moving all around, all over the place because they're very, very frustrated with the climate of where they are. And I think it's what I was reading is it's more than it's ever been by like a factor of something. Like it's a lot more.
It is the Chicago. They're in droves leaving Chicago and Denver also. So it's not just a Northwest or a West Coast. This is like all across the world or nation.
To the Northwest and coming to our city. It's just crazy. I think it was 15.9 million people or something like that are in transit right now.
That is just crazy.
Wow.
So that's that says a couple things, which I think we're going to talk about. But one thing right off is when you're in that kind of transition, it's like a huge point of distraction. So like look at how many people are just like off their game, as it were, you know, just because they're in the middle of a big move or whatever.
Yeah, change.
Like life is just all up in the air when that happens.
Right, yeah. Right. It's a big change.
Yeah. I automatically think of a great shaking, the great shaking. I know that sometimes people's motives are fear, feeling defeat, feeling like, oh, the grass appears greener on the other side. But then I also wonder, okay, there's cross-pollination that can take place. The Lord can, he will use everything for his good and his glory. So I know on one hand it's very shocking. We've never experienced anything like this. But on the other hand, I think, ooh, what goodness is going to be brought to our state What's the Lord going to do in order to, and vice versa, from our state to other states? What is the Lord, like, fires that he's lighting all around, you know?
Yeah, you know, on one hand, I think that's awesome. And I love, you've always got just the will of the Father in mind, Veronique. It just lifts my spirit. Seriously, it's like awesome. I look at it too from the vantage point of, you know, what, how many of these people are moving based out of a frustration, based out of a fear, or based out of whatever it is that's really not based out of God. You know, so what I'm hearing you say is, you know, it's beautiful when we can receive the people that God is bringing our way, and that he is leading to to us.
Right.
That's gorgeous.
Sometimes in our lives, I've noticed this for us, it's almost like a grace lifts.
Yeah.
And a frustration is allowed. And that frustration is the frustration the Lord uses to send us out.
Yeah.
Or this... there's something like he takes our contentment away. I'm not saying
no, that that's
this
great.
Is this, but sometimes he does use that to move people. That I just wanted to interject that in what you were saying.
Yeah, no, but that's good. But what if it's moving and it's not the will of the Father for you to move?
Right.
So if it is the will of the Father, yay. That's where you, the blessing is going to happen. But how important is geography to the Lord?
Yeah,
that's really that's the question I'd love to dive into a little bit today with us, but also with you guys. Have you ponder how important, and ask the Lord, how important is geography? So how important is geography, people?
So biblically, it's super important.
Yeah.
That's why God created tribes, is so that they would all live in places, they would all have certain anointings, responsibilities, and parts of the Father's heart that they carried. And their role was just like within a family member, the kids, the parents, everyone's got a different anointing that we carry. And so the goal was to release that and to subdue the earth and multiply, take dominion, take authority. In other words, know your land and have a heart for it, so that you've got, love your land. And so if you, I agree with both of what you were saying. On one hand, the Lord will create a frustration sometimes, but on the other hand, make sure that you adore the place that you're in. And I get in conversations where people have, they start breaking down that adoration for the place that they're in. Maybe they've had bad experiences with the government. Maybe they've had bad experiences with police or officials. And next thing you know, I despise this land.
Yeah.
And you can look into their history and see that the enemy has created scenarios for them to disrespect authority in the land. And that becomes a on-ramp for beginning to disrespect the anointing on them for that land, or detaching from it. And next thing you know, they have no authority there, and no wonder they want to move. So if you move, and if you're moving right now, my advice is what the scriptures say: be led in peace by no other reason, by no frustration, by no law, by no mask, by no ordinance. Be led in peace.
Okay, I totally agree with that, and I love that. But I want to pose, what do we say to all of the people out there who are like feeling so defeated right now with what is currently taking place, and then and they're not feeling like the state is providing safety for them and their family anymore. You know, they've got, for whatever reason, they're just not feeling. What would we say to those people who are like, but you don't, this is my situation, I feel totally defeated, and I don't feel like it's safe for my kids anymore to be in this state?
Well, curious what you guys think, but I'm going to go straight to the probably offensive side. So God gives Israel the promised land, And then they do their thing and they wander around and they don't do everything perfect. And then it's time to check it out. So we send in spies. And this is a land flowing with milk and honey. And they come back and what do? They say, oh, this is so awesome. It's like Disneyland. Let's go. No, they come back and they're like, this is going to be so hard. I don't think we should do it. I mean, not all of them, but almost all of them came back and said, this is going to be so hard. We cannot do this. There are giants in the land. We are host. So I feel like a lot of times the milk and honey is just on the other side of giant. Mm-hmm. Every time we find a giant, we say, I think it's time to move to Idaho or whatever. Mm-hmm. We are never going to experience the blessings for the land that we've been given, because we were given the land doesn't mean that it was like a little perfect package with a little wrapping paper and a bow. Mm-hmm. Like we had to, there was some part of us and what we had to do involved with that mm-hmm. gift.
Like contending.
Mm-hmm. Like contending, like I'm not saying we need to go start wars, but like in the case in scripture, it was like we have to go to battle mm-hmm. to win this.
Yeah.
This was a land that was given. It was given over a lot of additional sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But there's no milk and honey. There's only desert unless you're willing to stand against the giants. Yeah. And I feel like this great migration that we're seeing from everywhere to everywhere, because it's not just people are frustrated with where we live. It's literally everywhere. They're moving all over the place. They're always frustrated. You're prolonging the inevitable. Like, let's say it's a political reason that you're frustrated. It's getting too liberal, let's say. And I just don't like the way the government is doing things. So I'm going to move to a place that's more in line with my personal beliefs. And that's great on paper, but what are you doing for your children? Because the tone of the country is shifting, and mm-hmm. some places shift slower than others. Mm-hmm. You're making your temporary 10 years more comfortable, but 20 years from now, it'll probably look just like it used to look where you were running from, mm-hmm. because no one's fighting there, because mm-hmm. you left. Mm-hmm. So that's my offensive take.
Wow. I do love it. I feel like, wow, whenever the Lord gives us a promise, he doesn't say, and there's going to be cushions along the way, there's going to be spas, and you can go and, you know, go to this place and get pampered, and you're going to have this many clothes with these designer labels. It doesn't work that way. We always encounter giants, encounter troubles and problems. And overcoming those is part of why the Lord has sent us to that place. Because he knows we can overcome this right here, right now. The next journey down where he tells us to go, we're going to need the skills that we acquired in that previous battle. And if we keep avoiding the battle, we're not learning those skills.
Yeah. And there's just different giants within every land. And if you don't learn to conquer them here, you will learn to conquer them there. They're not going to go away. The other side, and I'll sort of jump on the offense bandwagon, is that this whole COVID thing, part of it was meant to get us out of the need to rely on the government anyway. And so if we're moving to a city or a state because the government is better for us there or more conducive to me, my family, my role, that's the wrong reason to be moving. Part of the kingdom of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it supersedes the government. And this is what I mean. We're to seek first the kingdom of God,
right,
not the kingdoms of this world. And so when we're moving because of the kingdoms of this world, actually that just reveals how attached to them we really are.
Yeah. Wow, come on.
Yeah. That's exactly it. We have gotten so comfortable with the creature comforts that we think that the way we live is what we can expect. And that's normal. And so when we think God is providing for us and we are happy with him and we're happy with where we are, it's because we have all these creature comforts in our life. But that's not That's not what it's about.
Right.
And I think that we need to shift our mentality back to, what is this really about? Like, is it about geography? What about geography matters to the Lord, and how much of our commitment to Him are we do we have to fine-tune in order to realign with His desire for us to be in a specific geographical place?
And I love what Becky always says. She says, how you do anything is how you do everything. She always reminds me about that. And so that would make me wonder, hey, am I doing that in relationships too? You know, when it gets hard, when it's time to push or cross swords. I've had leaders say to me, I said, I love how you're leading me. Thank you for being a mentor to me, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember one leader said to me honestly and sat down, high-level leader, said to me, Bobby, I love that you love my teachings, but until we cross swords, I will not know your loyalty.
Yeah. So how, what would you say to, like, how did you guys know you were called here to our location in Bend, Oregon? And what would you say is, you know, like for those out there who are like, well, I just moved here and I don't even know if I'm supposed to be where I'm living currently right now. How do I know this is where God's got me?
Hmm. Yeah. So I'm super glad you asked that question. So for me, in our family, we grew up here, and then we moved to Oklahoma, and we lived in Oklahoma for a few years. And when we were there, we realized how opposite our personal kind of belief system was with the common belief system from a political standpoint and even a religious standpoint as Oregon, as where we were from. And we, unfortunately, that started to develop in us a sense of bitterness against the region. Like, oh my goodness, the people there are all crazy. The people there are, they're not God-fearing. Like, it's a nightmare. This kind of just, you know, it's not like we thought about it all the time, but there's kind of this bad vibe against the region. And then in addition to that, we went through some very difficult experiences, kind of like what you mentioned, Bobby, with some authority in the region while we were visiting in the Pacific Northwest, which amplified this tenfold. So then it came for us to leave Oklahoma, and we ended up back here. But we brought with us this spirit of discontent, like we're strangers in a foreign land and like we don't like the place that we live. We're not sure why we're here. And then we ended up moving to Bend, Oregon, and we went through this journey. And eventually I got to the point where I said, actually, it was after some messages that you spoke on, Bobby, where you're like, you need to love the land that you're in. And I'm like, I actually kind of have this little pride that how much I don't love the land. I'm actually feel cool that I dislike the land. I never really thought of it that way until you kind of brought that out. And I had to spend some time with God and say, okay, well, am I supposed to go somewhere else? Because, I mean, well, okay, I will. And it was very clear for me. It was very clear, not quite as clear for Alice, but it was very clear for me. No, what are you talking about? Quit being a wiener about it. That's the message I got from the Holy Spirit. Quit being weak-minded and stop complaining about it and do something about it. Actually, what I heard was, what are you going to do about it?
Wow.
And so now I feel nothing changed. I dislike a lot of the things that happen in this region. But I look at it completely different now.
That's awesome.
What has that done to your authority? To the favor that's been released as soon as you had that mindset? What has happened in your life in terms of momentum? And can you link it back to that paradigm shift?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that. But probably momentum has increased, probably significantly. And I've never thought about linking those two together, but in the last few years where I've gone through that journey and our family has, and we're learning to step into it, and even Alice, she's so awesome. She just bought a cutting board from the grocery store that's in the shape of Oregon. And I'm like, babe, this is a way bigger deal than you realize. And she's like, no, I just need something that's really, you know, nice. We can put cheese on it. I'm like, no. This is a big deal. Because right next to it was just a oval one.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're learning how to step into it and not be afraid of the giants.
Yeah.
And how it comes out in our lives a lot is it's not literal giants a lot of the times, right? So it's more like just this kind of passive aggressive whining about the giants. Because we're not actually drawing swords and killing giants, typically, these days.
Yeah. Well, so my mind automatically goes to when the Lord spoke to Elijah and he said, hey, I love it. He's like, go east, then go this way, and you'll find this little ravine. So he literally just sends him to a river, like a tiny little river. And then the ravens feed him. That's like full-on lavish living right there. No, it's really not, because ravens are scavengers, right?
It's kind of nasty.
But the Lord provides with these ravens, and Elijah loved him enough to go to the river and be fed by ravens. And then that kind of dries up, and he moves on. The Lord directs him to the widow. Again, this is in the middle of a famine, and Elijah's just going step by step, following what the Lord is saying, leading him where he needs to go. And then he gets to the widow, and it's really bad. Drought, they're running out of food, running out of oil. They're literally going to prep a meal and die. I don't know what more despair there could be than that one sentence. Yeah. Like, I literally am about to cook our last meal, and then we're all going to die. And the Lord sent him there to perform supernatural in her life and in that region. And it was Elijah's obedience that saved her and her family. And it was his recognizing, I'm not going to be taken care of in the most lavish ways along the way, but my God has got me. Yeah. And I'm gonna get there. He didn't even know what the Lord was going to do when he got there, but he knew that as he trusted the Lord had a plan. And I think when I think of us coming along the journey that we've had, it's also been a leading. The Lord has said, go here, go here, go here, go here. He's just been, that's the way he talks to us, and he's been really faithful with that. And every single time I've looked at it, it has been hard. It has been the hardest thing we've ever done, and one day I'm going to write a book about it. Because the strength that we have received through this journey far outweighs the devastation and the hardship and the burning pain. It's all so worth it. The relationship that I have with the Lord now is completely different to where it was when we started this journey. And to me, that's the biggest win, because I'm not here eternally on this earth. Geography matters only for a little time while I'm here on the earth. The biggest thing is my relationship with him. That's eternity.
Wow. I was thinking, as you guys were talking, about how many times in the scripture the story of the history of one of our forefathers, like Abraham, that's how it starts. The Lord said, go, you know, and I just coming to mind all these others. Oh, yeah. So, but they had to be listening, and some of them had to ask. So there's both of these things that are important to the Lord to consider his ways.
Yeah.
That's, ask me what my way is, you know? And so I remember, I want to turn it a little bit and maybe talk, you know, Chris, you touched on this a bit in your journey and sharing what you guys went through with Oklahoma and then coming back to Oregon. It does not mean that it's easy. That's also what I'm picking up and hearing from you guys. And same with us and our story.
Totally.
It doesn't mean that it's an easy choice to make or an easy decision to follow the Lord. It's going to be all ice cream and, you know.
Yeah, there's almost no ice cream.
There isn't. No, and candy, what is it? Cotton candy clouds and rainbows out of Skittles, you know.
No ice cream, let alone dairy free.
Right. You know, but I remember when we were called by the Lord, and we asked the Lord, Where should we go? What land do you have for us now? And he said, you'll always have a part in Bend, but I want you to go to California. And California to us was Egypt. We were just like,
wow.
Oh dear, you're calling us into the land of slavery for us.
Wow.
And we were like, we serve at the pleasure of our king. Mm-hmm. So off we went and believing that we were there forever. And we were like, we're putting our hands into the soil. We're drawing the line in the sand and we're writing our names in this land.
Wow.
We are here forever. Mm-hmm. And we will do whatever God says to do to transform this land mm-hmm. into heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, he spoke to Bobby and he said, don't forget about Bend, Oregon. And that was like after a year. And then I was like, are you kidding me? I've just given everything to stay here, to be in California. And it was like, I serve at the pleasure of a king, of my king.
So you left after a year?
We left after a year, come back up to Bend. and when we get to Bend, we're thinking that it's going to look one way. And it looks completely different.
Okay, I just have to say, I'm like literally my spirit is like doing cartwheels on the inside. I really believe that because you went, both of you went 100%, okay, we're going to give this our all. We are here forever. With that mentality, I think that's why you were not circling the desert for 40
yes.
years.
Amen.
Honestly, I feel that. You yes. went in with the yeah. right attitude and you got the shortcut, baby.
Yes.
It's like the little shortcut on the Candyland where you skip all yes. of that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, thank you,
anyway,
Jesus. No, that's good. So here we are and everything's opposite. It's mm. not the rainbow Skittle, whatever, and ice cream, cotton candy. It is, it's really hard. And I'm like, surely we did not hear from God, and my stubbornness comes out and I'm just like, I was like, listen, he's going to have to speak to us or else this is not what we're called to do. And this is not what we're called to be.
Did she do it like that? Hey, listen.
Totally.
I did. I did.
This is the watered down version.
Yes.
Oh, I bet.
I did. And so Bobby's, has a lot of friends who are, just leaders in all different parts of the world. And he calls this one and this one leader, no joke. This one leader says, you're where? In Bend, Oregon. That place, you need to get out of there. That place is not blessed.
Oh, no.
God does not have good things for Bend, Oregon.
Yeah.
It is not going to, Bobby, you couldn't have heard from the Lord. And just starts like picking at Bobby and picking, bringing doubt and like constant, just pushing on him, doubt after doubt. Until Bobby responded with, and I was like surprised, but he raised his voice, which he rarely does.
Come on.
And he says, I know I heard from the Lord. And if God has called us here, surely there is something in this land that he sees worth saving. And I am here to do his bidding.
Come on.
And this leader all of a sudden went silent and said, and that's the reason you've been called there.
Mm.
It needed that, he said God was looking for someone who was willing out of all doubt and pushing in mm-hmm. on there's no hope and that feeling of defeat. He was looking for someone who was willing to contend like you are willing.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And it was like, it was a test.
Mm-hmm.
It was a complete test.
Yeah.
And so, contending starts in our hearts.
Yeah.
It starts in our minds. And, there is so much darkness and gross darkness and deep darkness that is about to be released that we have not even tasted of yet. What will we do?
Yeah.
Will we run away? Will we stay in a place of defeat? Or will we contend for the land that God has called us to contend for? Now, it doesn't that put such an importance on really knowing where you have been called?
Absolutely.
How many have put their name, written their name? We went out and in Bend, we got that word. He went off in contending for it. And we went outside and we went in and we wrote in the dirt with our finger, our names. And we declared before the Lord, we're here. We're all in. And we will put our fingers in the soil and we will contend as you see fit. We serve at your pleasure, Lord. And then it was right after that, we went to a conference and there was another leader who did not know us at all. And he called us up. He was speaking and he called us up and he says, that church you started in Bend is from the Lord. And he just lays out this pathway. And it was like, it was the next.
Yeah.
Wow.
But we needed to contend. We needed to write our names in the land before we could have the full release of the word of the Lord.
And then after that, it was lots of ice cream.
Oh. Then started the betrayal. And then started
Yeah.
Every land has the possibility of its wounds. If you think of land as a living organism, and that's what it is, it has wounds. It has things that have been done in that land that will spit you out. It will betray you.
Yeah.
It will do all of these things that have been done to it. Mm-hmm. And so every portal needs to be cleansed. Jacob's ladder in Scripture was called a portal. The word ladder, Jacob's ladder is actually the word portal. Mm-hmm. And every region has a portal that needs to be cleansed where heaven can ascend and descend. Mm-hmm. Angels can ascend and descend, and we can bring the kingdom through. Mm-hmm. Every region has its occult, you know, everywhere we travel, they're just like, they pick you up from the airport, and they're just like, this is the most demonic place that you've ever been, I guarantee it, you know, or this is the most this or that. And like, I get it. Every region has a portal that needs to be cleansed.
Yeah.
But you only have authority to the degree you have love.
Yeah.
And so just because we know that regions are living, we have to forgive our regions. I remember that walking through that moment with you guys and having a long conversation with Alice too. And those are moments that are pivotal for you.
Absolutely.
And from my perspective, the other side of that is more authority. Mm-hmm. Once you make a decision to put both hands in that soil, whether you're going to be there 2 days, 2 years, 20 years, or eternity, you get there and you live like you're going to be there forever. And you spend it all for that land. I was asking the Lord one day how to do that. And he showed me a picture of the Father and the Son, Jesus, having a conversation. I'm sending you to the earth. It is not like it is here, there. It's very dark there. It's very demonic there. It is not like what you've experienced here, but I'm sending you nonetheless because you have something that you carry that they need.
That's it.
And for the Lord to send his own son behind enemy lines, the little drops of blood that we get in the garden where he did that for a minute, mm-hmm. was actually not just something that happened to him once. It was the demonic oppression that Jesus went through from the moment he got here. Mm-hmm. That's why your Bible says from 2 years old, they were trying to find him so they could kill him because they were killing the babies. That was an assault to find Jesus. It started early on until the day he breathed his last on the cross. And when you feel that way in a region, it feels like you want to run from it, but that is the time to literally give your life for the region, and you will deposit something into the soil of that land that will actually change the trajectory. That's why the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, when the centurion reached that sword into his side and with forth came blood and water, and it said it spilled onto the land. That's what happens when we give our lives for a region.
Totally. So I'm someone who has come here because I've been dissatisfied, and I left out of feeling defeated, and I didn't follow the voice of the Lord per se, right? I came because I felt it was better for my family. Yeah. Now I'm hearing this,
yes,
and I'm feeling like, oh, great. I've just spent thousands of dollars driving across the country. I've just relocated, uprooted everything. What do I do now? How do I fix this now?
Turn around. Repent. Turn around. Go back.
Yeah.
Until it is worth every penny you will spend to go back to where the Lord has called you. If you stay, you'll just be miserable. And you will find yourself in a place where you're just miserable. Your children are miserable. And until you get back into the will of the Father, that is the only safe place to be.
Feels like a very costly consequence.
Serving Jesus costs us everything.
Yes.
Right?
I think too, like, so I think we get this weird idea. I think it's just the time that we live is really easy. I mean, we think we have a lot of problems. It's really easy. But I think we have this weird idea because of the time that we live that things just need to all be like we like.
Yeah. Right.
And what if Jesus rolled in and was here for, you know, 25 years and said, you know what? I don't really agree with the way the government's handling things here. I mean, this was bad news. This is nothing like the most oppressive part of our country is just doesn't even hold a candle to the best day 2,000 years ago. Like, what they had, the level of oppression that they had was just 1,000 times greater.
Yeah.
And he didn't go, you know what, on second thought, I don't think I'm going to step into my ministry next year or a couple years from now because I just really don't like the way this is. Like, I don't agree with the governor of my state. And then he took off. Like, I mean, obviously, this is kind of a ridiculous thing that I'm saying because it is, because God wouldn't abandon us. But what if, like, he had the attitude like we have? Like, I don't like this, so I think I should just go make it easier for me. And we literally are turning our back and walking away from the assignment that we were given.
Yeah.
Now, again, that might not always be the case. Sometimes we are called to go somewhere. So I just want to say, hey, sometimes people are called to go.
Right.
But I think I just feel like that's often not what's going on. I feel like we're actually being called to fight, but fighting is really scary and it's harder and it's frankly a big no fun thing.
Yeah.
And it's much, much easier to go find a group of people that are just like me and settle in there and drift along without actually making impact.
Mm-hmm. That's so great, Chris. Can you imagine there's Jesus on the cross and everything that could happen to him in that land did. The people rejected him. The land rejected him. Everything was trying to spit him out or take him to the cross. Mm-hmm. And there he is on the cross, and he has to forgive the people. And so I just feel like that's the same thing. If you've had hardship in a land, forgive the land.
Yeah.
Forgive the people. That's normal to even the First Nations people. That's normal to the First Nations people, which is Israel, to know how to forgive the land, to know how to cleanse the land. That's why they poured salt water or salt in the headwaters of Jericho, because they knew prophetically that if they did that, it would heal the land of bitterness. So let's be a part of actually healing the land. That starts by forgiving. If you've suffered betrayal, if you've suffered things that have maybe been the motivator that have caused you to relocate, stop right now and forgive that land. And then once that has happened, you will have authority. Ask the Lord not only to help you forgive, but to replace that unforgiveness or that wounding with a insatiable love for that land. And you will find authority comes through forgiveness and love. And you'll have an authority over that land that you can even access remotely.
Sure. You talk about the financial cost, you know, someone saying, well, we just moved here. Yeah. Wouldn't it cost way more, both in the natural and spiritually, to remain in a place that God has not called you to be?
Yeah, I think my heart, I don't know if my heart could take that just in terms of relationally, knowing that I'm somewhere he didn't ask me to be, knowing that I am not in alignment with what his plan was for me. I would just, I think one of the most difficult things is to stop, say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And now I'm going to do what it takes to fix it. Mm-hmm. And that's relationally across the board with everything. Mm-hmm. But especially in something like this, you just want to, you know, he's your heavenly father. He loves so much. He loves us. He wants what's absolutely best for us. And maybe, just maybe, absolutely best for us is the tough land. Because he's thinking long term.
That's right.
We're thinking here and now.
Absolutely. Amen. Where do you have your inheritance? There are certain places that the Lord's given you as an inheritance, whether it be in the United States or around the world, you'll experience a certain love that's supernatural for those regions. And we just want to seek first the kingdom of God. And it would be super easy just to go, well, Lord, I already made the expense to move here.
Yeah.
So can't you just give me a pass on this one? You wouldn't call me back, would you?
Right.
And sometimes, you know, we're just asking the Lord just to cover us and cover our mistakes. And sometimes the Lord is super gracious to do that. But to just think that that's going to happen and him not say, no, you get right back to where you need to be. Sometimes that is repentance, because staying on the wrong road will never actually make its way back to the right road.
Right.
It won't. I promise you. I've tried it. It doesn't work. You have to go back to the why on the road where you got off. And you have to start there.
Yeah, totally.
So good.
Well, we are just about out of time. I think we're at a spot right now where a lot of people are, if they're not in the literally in the process of trying to figure out how to escape where they're from, they're definitely frustrated and have been thinking in their minds, I'm frustrated with this place. I need to get out of here. And I don't think any of us are saying that God doesn't sometimes call us to go to a different place. But I feel like we better be sure.
Yeah.
We really better be sure. And I hope that if you're listening to this, that it maybe you, it causes you to pause and really, really spend some time with the Holy Spirit to find out what you're called to. Because God did not say, to the Israelites, oh man, you're right. There's some big dudes in there. They're scary. So it's actually just fine. Head back to the desert. I'll just keep, you know, providing for you out there. He did not say that. He said, yeah, I know about the giants.
Yeah, that's
right. I'm aware of the giants. And keep going.
That's right.
And that's terrifying. It was like, going to be very difficult. So I just feel like let this podcast be a call to you to really make sure that you are not falling out of alignment with what God has for you. Because like Becky, what you said, hey, it's a lot more costly.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily seem like it would be, but it will be.
Yeah.
For sure. So, yeah, so definitely, you know, share this. There's definitely 10 people in your life that need to hear this podcast probably, because this is the exodus out of every state in our nation. And it's not even just in our country. This is a global issue right now. People are frustrated with the way things are going. And so you definitely need to share this, subscribe. And I'd love to just end, you know, praying for people that are in that scenario, thinking about, you know, I just feel like this isn't my home. I need out of here when they're in that scenario. So Bobby, would you mind closing us in prayer and praying for people that are feeling that weight right now and trying to decide and maybe feeling like it's time to leave, but maybe it is, maybe it's not. Would you pray for them?
Absolutely. Father, I just thank you that we are led in peace, as your scriptures say, that we're led by your Holy Spirit. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And right now, we're in a season where we need sons and daughters, excuse me, to be led by the Spirit of God. And so, Lord, lead us. Right now, we just repent of making any decision in life, whether it's to move or any decision in life, Lord, out of the natural man. We want to seek first your kingdom. And so, Lord, we just get right back into that why in the road where we may have gotten off, where we may have started to take the reins because we didn't see what you were doing. And we started making decisions out of what we thought was best, out of the natural man, the natural eyes. And God, we come right back to that why in the road. We repent and we say, God, I want first your thought. Where do I have authority? Where is my land of inheritance? And Lord, I refuse to make decisions on the natural man. And certainly, by what the kingdoms of this world can provide me. Lord, I realign myself to the kingdom of heaven and say, I am not afraid wherever you call me. If I'm Jonah running from Nineveh, then put me back there. If I'm having a well of a time right now until you spit me out back on the shores of where I'm supposed to be, then so be it, God. Get me back there and put inside of me a love. And if I need to forgive a land, then I release forgiveness to the people that have hurt me, to the government, to the land itself. And I ask that you would replace that bitterness and betrayal with a love for that land, God. Father, do it supernaturally, like the love that you had when you were sent here yourself. And Father, let us find out supernaturally that that has released the power of God through us because we chose to love. Lord, we forgive right now and extend forgiveness, and we just want to be where you've called us to be. Now I pray for a company of people to raise up out of the ashes with power and authority like we've never known, because we are literally in the land of our promise. We are not afraid of the giants because we know that he who has promised us is greater than he who stands before us. In the name of Jesus, we impart this paradigm and this heart for the land to which we've been given. Take the land that you've been given now. Joshua, God says, I will put the terror of you in all of the land to which I've given you. So, Father, let us raise up with power in the land that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.